Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're on a brother Jay-less episode talking about 1987's A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Holds a special place in my heart.
This is 1987?
Yep. You're at graduated from high school.
I would have guessed earlier than that.
Yeah, it's got a lot of 80s in here.
Yes, it does.
I think this is my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Just going at it right off the bat, I'm a big horror fan. Nightmare on Elm Street is not my favorite series necessarily. Although, actually, it turns out none of the series are all that great. Like, I thought the first three Hellraisers were pretty great, but then it has a precipitous drop off. The Friday the 13th are fun, but hard to go back and rewatch. The Halloween movies start off good, go in a weird direction at number three, and then fall off a cliff. That's kind of the big ones.
Yeah, I guess I put these kind of slasher horror movies in like a whole different category. They're all very campy.
Yes. This one especially.
Yeah. So I don't find them scary as much as creatively gory.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. None of this is scary. And this is the Freddy movie that he turns sort of funny.
Sort of. I was expecting him to be funnier.
He just had good one-liners. It wasn't like he was cracking wise like he does in later movies.
Right.
Not a lot of puns. Mostly just a lot of bad language and calling people bitches.
Yeah.
But that was edgy in 1987, apparently. But what a cast! I guess, okay, so starting out, what's your relationship to this movie?
I watched it with you when you rented it from Video City. Or maybe like, was this pre-Video City?
No, it was Video City time.
Okay. So it wasn't like Creekside Video or anything?
Oh, no. This was definitely the prime time of Video City.
Yeah. So I watched it with you downstairs in the rec room. And that was about the level of my emotional investment in this movie.
Yeah. Well, to me, it hits all the nostalgia spots. For 1987, it's got cheesy hair metal. As the soundtrack is by, or the theme song is by Dokken, a band I wasn't ever fond of, but it's beautiful for this time period as far as the hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a ton of familiar actors from the time, or some from later, I guess.
There were only really two and a half that were familiar to me.
Well, we got Robert Englund, of course, is Freddy.
I'm not counting him.
Okay, and we got Heather Langenkamp, who comes from the rest of the Friday the 13th, or sorry, the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and she is wooden at best.
Yes, she is terrible.
Yeah, she's not good. Granted, there's lots of other sort of hammy acting. Craig Wasson, who plays the doctor, I remember him from, Body Double?
Oh, okay. That's why he looks so familiar.
Yeah,
I could not place him, but he seemed super familiar.
Yes, he plays a good skeezy guy.
Yeah, I kept expecting him to take a turn that he never really took.
No, it turns out he's actually like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way. It's kind of strange. We have Patricia Arquette in her screen debut.
She was good.
Yeah. Yep. We've got, let's see, Jennifer Rubin, who, she's like perfect 1987 for me. Hachimachi.
She seemed very familiar. But again, another one I couldn't place.
Well, let's see. She was in The Crush. She was in The Doors.
Okay.
She's been in a lot of TV, I think.
I assume she had pretty small roles in both of those.
She wasn't the lead. Mm-hmm.
She was in another horror movie we watched.
It's a movie called The Wasp Woman, a TV movie. She was in Saints and Sinners. She was in Bitter Harvest, The Crush. She was in Tales from a Crypt episode. She was in Bad Dreams.
Bad Dreams. Yes. That's the one.
Yes. That looks like a horrible movie.
Well, we watched it.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. Oh, yeah. It's like this. This is great. This is the prime time for the 80s horror movies. And it's just great. That's why I love this movie so much.
Is she also in a psychiatric hospital in Bad Dreams?
Yes, I believe so. Or maybe she was a doctor or something. I watched a couple of different trailers of like B movies that she was in. It's not great, but she's she's a working actress at the time. It's fine.
Yeah,
we got Lawrence Fishburne.
Larry.
Yes,
Larry Fishburne.
Crazy. We have the reappearance of John Saxon, who always plays a good bad guy. We have cameos by Dick Cavett and Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah, that was really bizarre.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
So this is where like the rest of the Freddy movies did a lot of these things, especially that, what is it, A New Nightmare was all about, like, I think Robert Englund was a character. And Freddy became real.
Yeah, that's the one where everybody is playing themselves, making a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Yes.
That's a clever concept.
Yeah.
Very, very late career Wes Craven-y.
Yes. And Wes Craven didn't want anything to do with... he didn't think Nightmare on Elm Street would be a good series. And do you remember Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2?
Vaguely. It my memory is that it had a extremely different tone.
Yeah, it was the gay one.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy homoerotic.
Yes.
Really kind of shockingly so, if you're going back to be a completist and watching the series, you're like, what? How? Wow.
Yeah, the first two were on Netflix for a while, and so I watched them because I hadn't seen them in a while. And I thought the first one actually held up better than I expected it to.
A very young Johnny Depp?
Yes, very young. And the second one was a little baffling to watch.
But, you know, another thing we can talk about plot, I suppose, but it is a very sort of simple story. I mean, it's your typical Nightmare on Elm Street story where this town who has... killed a child rapist and murderer. They're now being haunted by that child rapist and murderer in the children's dreams. The dreams of the children.
They never said he was a child rapist in this movie. Did they say that in previous movies?
I believe so.
Because I think they sort of had to drop that part of his backstory, right? When he started becoming more of a...
like a comedy guy?
Yeah, he wasn't quite the protagonist of the later movies, but certainly they were built around everybody rooting for him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, and it's tough to root for a child rapist.
Yeah.
Yeah, who the parents killed in a vigilante way, yet in an understandable way. Like, mm-hmm. Got off on a technicality or something. But I think this is where they introduced the idea of him being the bastard child of 100 maniacs. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty dark.
That's super dark. It's comically over the top.
Yes, it is. As a lot of these things are. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, so it starts out with we have Patricia Arquette's character who is trying to stay awake in very funny ways, like by eating a spoonful of instant coffee and washing it down with the Coke or Diet Coke. Mm. Don't want to get fat. So, you know, she's a teenage kid of one of these Elm Street parents. And she's
the worst cliched stereotype of an affluent divorcee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Though, yeah, exactly. So she's having bad dreams. And so we see Freddy, and it's all very familiar. If you've seen the series, it's all, you know, it scratches that itch of bad things happening to good people.
That song, the children's song, is still super creepy.
It is, yeah.
That is like the creepiest construct of the entire series, and it works every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's weird because I don't remember, and again, I haven't watched the other movies recently, but I don't remember there being a big religious context, even though that's part of the song. But, oh well, yeah. It works. So basically, yeah, we have, instead of just the neighborhood kids, now we get to meet a whole group of kids in a kid psychiatric hospital. Which is fun. A lot of 80s stereotypes.
Yes, one from each group.
Yes. I feel kind of bad for Ken Sagos, I think. He's the one who played Kincaid, the tough black kid who had a lot of "I'm gonna get you, sucker" lines.
Yes.
Everybody had those kind of lines, but it rings particularly a little, it skews a little more racist.
Yeah,
when you're watching it 30 years later or whatever.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. And yet it was, you know, strictly out of stereotype central. And we have some other trouble kids. Like I said, you got Jennifer Rubin, who's the junky girl. Hot, hot, hot. And then we have, although again, these are all teenagers. So it's, oh, well. We got.
You were of that age. I was a teenager too.
Yeah, exactly.
That,
yeah. We have the, what?
It's like the Matthew McConaughey line, right? That's the great thing about high school girls. I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Just the worst. Yeah. Ugh. But then we got the kid who's, the nerdy kid who's the, he plays D&D and he's in a wheelchair. We've got the kid who is, was struck mute for some reason that I don't remember, even though I watched the movie last night. He was a debate champion and now doesn't talk much. We got the inflictor of self-harm girl, much more popular now than then, but good way is to keep awake, I suppose, by burning yourself.
The wannabe TV star.
Yes, yes. We've got the kid who makes marionettes, who is the first to go. Because he's there just for exposition.
Oh, he's a sleepwalker.
Yes, the sleepwalker.
Yeah, and if you're haunted by bad dreams, why would you make, like, the creepiest things to hang in your room?
There's that. Well, you're edgy. You're an edgy teen. And then we have, we have the head doctor, I guess, the woman who is sort of the antagonist. Sort of. I mean, I guess she's just doing her job.
She's the wet blanket.
Yeah. And then we have Craig Wasson, who plays Dr. Neil, who's the cool doctor. The doctor who would, like, probably flip his chair backwards during group and maybe bring out a guitar at some point in the day.
Yeah. The doctor who sits on the lawn underneath the tree with his patients.
Yeah.
And then has somebody take a photo of it.
It'll come in handy later.
Mm-hmm.
And I expected him to, like, take a skeevy turn. But he didn't really.
No.
And then we have the new doctor, the intern, played by Heather Langenkamp, who is Nancy Thompson. And she's the survivor girl of the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie. I don't think she was in the second at all, right?
I don't remember her in the second. Yeah, so that must have been quite a reveal when she showed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I think I want to say I watched this in the theater, but maybe I didn't. Maybe we did watch it in the rec room only. Although I'm sure I rented this movie many, many times.
Yeah, I would not have seen it in the theater. I was 10.
Yeah, yeah. So that would make sense. I don't know. We were dragging you to movies. maybe 10 would be a little young, but I don't know. Maybe not. I probably saw this with Dan or somebody. Because all the, you know, this is, again, this is prime time. This is like where all the I think, what is it? Freddy jump-started New Line or saved New Line Cinema, right? I think there's a whole documentary on the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And yeah, New Line, they made a ton of money off these movies.
Oh, they kept cranking them out.
Yeah. And they were, you know, this is also the time where you've got the Friday the 13th movies being cranked out and Alice Cooper doing music for them. And
Freddy's dad.
Yeah, you've got some Halloween movies. I think still like Paul Rudd Halloween movies, and then the Hellraiser movies were coming in at that point. And yeah, it was a good time for horror.
Yeah, and good for Robert Englund because he wasn't making any balloon payments based off his V residuals,
unfortunately. Yeah, but he, you know, it's funny. In you know, he becomes more of a caricature, like more of the funny, quippy guy, sort of the hero, the lovable child rapist and murderer. But also, this movie is great because it's got all the great practical effects. It's got stop motion effects. It's got like live models. It's got like masks and stuff. It's great stuff. Great props. It's loaded with that stuff.
It's crazy to think that they did that. Mirror sequence practically.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, yeah, because it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all like with Mylar and stuff. And like,
and it looked good.
Yeah. And like when he comes out of the TV and stretches, you know, I mean, that's kind of I think it was probably, even at the time, I think it had probably had been done before, but it still looked good.
Yeah.
There was a scene that they actually, they wanted to film, and I almost expected it. I was like kind of waiting for it, where when they go to the junkyard and all those cars, Freddy was going to assemble a transformer type assembly of cars, but they couldn't swing the budget.
I was expecting that. That certainly seemed like it was set up for that.
Yeah.
There's no other reason to have cars staged that way.
No, not at all. Well, and of course, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, okay, even in the first movie, do you remember the very, very end of the first movie? Where I think was the mom gets killed?
Yeah, she's standing in the doorway.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in this movie too, there are stakes. I mean, there are, you know, like there are final people. It's not just one final girl, but characters you know and love die.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they don't come back. It's not, you know, it's not that kind of a movie.
Was Nancy supposed to have died in this movie?
I think so, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they kind of left it sort of.
There were a couple of Freddy's kills that I didn't realize at the time where he'd actually killed the person. Like, I kept expecting them to reappear.
Yes, me too. Because I think maybe in a modern movie, they maybe would.
Yeah.
But this wasn't that time. This was still back in the, you know, in the 80s where people died. Just, you know, even Jason Alexander was killed off in what, The Burning? Something like that. I think it was Helen Hunt movie.
That's a deep hole.
Yeah, well, you recognize, like, you know, like Kevin Bacon doesn't talk much about being in Friday the 13th. But he was there.
Yep.
So, yeah, so maybe this is a short conversation about this movie that I love so much. But what was your experience watching it again for this viewing, this discussion?
I was actually pretty disappointed. Because this one in the series, I think it is in a weird transition. I think they are starting to rehab Freddy's image in this movie. So they must have realized at some point that Freddy was the star of the series. So I think they tried to make him a little bit more sympathetic. They certainly did not mention the child rape in this movie. And then they gave him the comically tragic backstory of what happened to his mother.
Well, they did mention, though, when the little girl shows, what is it, Patricia Arquette's character, this is where he took us. I mean, yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, well, he was certainly a child murderer in the context of this movie. Much easier to rehab that than, you know, a child rapist,
I suppose. Did you see the remake with, was it Jackie Earle Haley?
I believe I did, yeah.
I don't think I did, or if I did, I didn't get through it very far. Did they rehab him from being a child rapist in that?
Don't remember.
Did you watch the movie Little Children?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a fantastic performance.
Yes, it was.
Also very creepy.
Yeah, I did watch the Jackie Earle Haley Nightmare on Elm Street, but it was not memorable at all. So they must not have taken any chances, since I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
But this movie, I kind of liked what they were doing. They were really expanding the Nightmare on Elm Street universe. You know, they gave the kids something to do other than just run around and be afraid, which I think was a good addition. And it reminded me of one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. I don't even know if it's a good movie because I haven't seen it in a while, but it's certainly one that we had around, so I watched it a lot. Dreamscape, the Dennis Quaid movie. Do you remember that one?
Oh, I remember it being around, but I couldn't tell you anything about it.
He had like psychic powers, and he had the power to enter other people's dreams. So the government wanted to use him as a weapon. So he, in that movie, he and another dude were in this program where they're trying to develop their powers. And the other dude turned out to be a bad guy. So there was like a showdown in Dreamland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cheesy, but I watched it a lot. And something about the concept really, really hit home with me. I thought that was a cool idea. And this movie,
like Scanners meets Tron.
Yeah, maybe. But this movie ripped that off a little bit. That sort of concept, which I was digging. I wish they had done more with that, but they didn't really. It sort of built up to like one final set piece that was, it was just not as creative as I wanted. Like, they established that each of them all had, like, their own personal set of superpowers in Dreamland. But they're totally ineffective.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were kind of like Sid and Marty Krofft superpowers, too.
Yeah. I mean, they were super lame, but they didn't even get a chance to do anything with them.
True.
So that was a little disappointing. The subplot with Nancy's father was just weird. And it certainly has sort of the 80s, I guess, 80s patriarchy. Because you have the female protagonist, Nancy, and whatever Patricia Arquette's name was.
Kristen
is like being the primary ones to face off against Freddy. But really, it's the dude who's burying Freddy's bones that saves the day.
Yeah.
So that was, I think that fell flat. And maybe that was fine at the time, but watching it through today's lens, that's pretty lame. Also, the skeleton, it was funny, but it looked terrible.
Yeah, it was, I mean, Harryhausen's skeletons look better in the 60s, 50s.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was fine. I wanted it to be better. In my memory, it was better. Certainly the 80s nostalgia was fun, you know, like, especially the glammed out punk rock chick. I mean, yeah, she was hilariously 80s.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep. Oh, everybody was. I mean, like the whole Dungeons and Dragons kid was super 80s. And, I mean, I don't know. I like the practical effects. Like the big Freddy snake thing, was absurd, but it's sort of fun. And apparently it was, like very inappropriate looking. Like they had to take it off the posters because it was too phallic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought the marionette shtick was kind of a fun little thing. I thought the thing with, you know, the punk rock girl with the overdose with the needles was pretty effective.
The little mouths on her arm were,
it's great.
Super gross.
Yeah.
But again, that's one of those where he pumped her full of drugs. I did not realize that had killed her.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Cause you never see it explicitly until she shows up on his chest.
Yeah.
And, you know, the girl who gets, like, pulled into the TV is, it's interesting. It's absurd. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, it was one way to do a kill.
My favorite part about that was apparently all they did at the facility was just remove the TV. Because when they put him back in that room as, like, a holding area, mm-hmm. there's still the big charred burn mark on the wall.
Oh, that's a nice touch, actually.
Yeah. I was like, really, guys? you're putting these mentally and emotionally fragile teenagers in this room with this bleak evidence of how one of their friends was killed? You might as well have, like, drawn the chalk outline of her body on the wall. Been like, hey, hang out in here, guys. It's fine.
It actually occurs to me that, like, you can't really give Robert Englund any awards for acting in this movie because he doesn't really have a huge part in it. Not like in, I remember in the other ones, you know, he's much more of a character that gets, like, actual, like, monologues and things.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Freddy vs. Jason recently. That was sort of fun. A good sort of, like, 90s mashup. Sort of dream, like, comic book fan dream movie. And it was fine. I mean, again, it cut quickly from the actual kids involved right to Freddy versus Jason, which is all you want to see. But, you know, it was like when they did Alien versus Predator, I found those movies super boring. Like, 100% boring.
I don't think I've even seen them.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend them. They're not great. Yeah, so any other notes on Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, Dream Warriors? Was it worth it?
I don't know. This one's pretty borderline. If you're not looking for any 80s nostalgia, I'd say skip it.
If you haven't seen it before, I don't think you're going to get anything new from it. But for me, the reason I love it is because it was part of my childhood.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a Patricia Arquette or Lawrence Fishburne completist,
or a Jennifer go for Rubin it. Completist, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, there you go. I mean, it's certainly not the worst in the series, but I think they get more entertaining later on.
I'm going to have to actually revisit some of them, because I have them all, but, you know, that's a big rabbit hole to go down, especially when I got to keep up my movie watching for the podcast, so I can't just drift off too much.
Was it number 6, the one that had Alice Cooper in it?
Let's see.
Because I thought Alice Cooper played his abusive father, which does not jive with the story told in this movie. Because we for sure saw that one in the theater together.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. Because Alice Cooper was actually a big thing back then. Crazy how long Alice Cooper has been relevant. I mean, on and off. Yeah, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, Freddy's Father, uncredited, Prince of Darkness, Monster Dog.
Monster Dog.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I think that's the Bee Gees version.
Wait, Freddy's Dead was in 3D, wasn't it? We had 3D glasses that we had to put on like towards the end of the movie.
For like 2 minutes at the end, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, so I guess a short discussion on Nightmare on Elm Street 3. But again, I love this movie, so I'm glad we got to talk about it. Eventually, we'll talk about Halloween 3 and Hellraiser 3. Also favorites of mine.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this movie was fine. I watched it in sort of a creepy setting. We went camping last weekend, and we got a good spot at one of our favorite campsites, but to get it, we had to reserve it on a Thursday night, which is fine. That means we get to take a long weekend. But Thursday night rolled around, and my wife found out that on Thursday afternoon, actually, that her client needed to have a negotiation on Friday morning for one of their contracts, and it could not be rescheduled until later. So she could not go Thursday night. So we decided I would just head up there by myself and get everything set up so that we didn't lose our spot.
If you don't show, even if you paid for it, you'll lose it?
Yeah, they can. They can. Mm-hmm. If you don't show up in the first 24 hours, they can ditch your reservation. Or if you have like a longer reservation and you're gone from the site for more than 24 hours, they can give it to somebody else.
Wow.
So, and this was a good enough spot, like with direct access to the lake, that we wanted to make sure we had it. So I went up by myself Thursday night and got everything set up. Left pretty late. Got there pretty late. And, you know, it takes a lot longer when you're by yourself trying to do everything. So by the time I sort of went to bed that night, it was pretty late, super dark, super quiet. And that's when I watched this movie. So it was like the best ambiance possible for a sort of campy horror movie.
It would have been better for a Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, it would have. Or a better Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Yeah, maybe.
So I let it put its best foot forward, and it still fell a little flat for me.
Oh, well. Well, thank you for putting up with it.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad I did.
Although we have another movie we can talk about, too.
I would like to talk about this. Yeah, okay. You sprung this one on me.
Yeah, this is an animated feature called Batman Gotham by Gaslight. And I had I put this on my Netflix list, so it arrived, and I watched it. And I was, shall I just tell you my reaction first, or do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the conceit. The conceit is Gotham during Victorian times, and all the Batman characters, or a lot of the Batman characters, in that setting. And it's basically a Jack the Ripper, H.H. Holmes kind of thing, like mashup.
Yeah, it's a reimagining of the Batman universe.
Yeah. So as a concept, I mean, again, I don't like period pieces, but I can make an exception for cartoons, I suppose, because I was interested to see where it was going to go. It was not for kids. It's definitely got some sexual innuendo and violence.
And swearing,
yes. And I'm going to give a spoiler here. If you guys are interested in watching it because you're a Batman comic enthusiast and you haven't gotten to it yet, I'm going to spoil the ending of this because I hate it. Like, I hate it. Like, I thought Batman and Selina Kyle and Jim Gordon and Poison Ivy and a couple other people, Hugo Strange, in this setting as characters in this little...
Harvey Dent.
Yeah, Harvey Dent. They're all in this Jack the Ripper tale, which I thought was... The conceit is fine. They didn't really do anything but put like a top coat on the Batman suit, like the Adam West Batman suit. So it's... That was kind of weird. And he had some kind of, I guess his little gadgets were a little more steampunky But
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, turns out Jack the Ripper is Jim Gordon, who was also abusing his wife. By the way, is Jim Gordon's wife? I thought his daughter was named Barbara.
Yeah, maybe both.
Okay, that's weird. But yeah, horrible, horrible choice. Horrible choice. Horrible, horrible, horrible choice.
So how did you feel about the original Mission Impossible movie?
The Tom Cruise one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Do you remember anything about the ending of that movie?
Oh, yeah. I think Peter Graves is the bad guy, right?
Well, John Voight playing the Peter Graves character.
Yeah.
Jim Phelps.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They made the main protagonist of the television series. They made him the bad guy of the movie.
Okay. I guess that was ill-received by a lot of people? Fans of the series?
You know, I don't know. I guess probably fans of the series. I know Peter Graves refused to play that role in the movie because of it.
Mm. We need to go through a string of Mission Impossible movies. Because especially people can't stop raving about the newest one. But yeah. When I hear them talk about it, everybody likes every other one too. And I only saw the first one, if I remember correctly. So I bought the set. I have everything up to Rogue Nation.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So we'll have to go through it because I'm interested to watch it. It's just a fun action movie. Have you seen the newest one yet?
No.
Okay.
But I've seen all of the others.
Yeah, I have not yet, but I will eventually. Yeah, so what? Yeah, so what did you think about Gotham by Gaslight?
I liked it up until the end. I like when they take stories and sort of reimagine them. It probably works better as a graphic novel than a movie. There's a couple graphic novels that I have that I really like. One's called Red Sun. Have you heard of that one?
No.
That imagines...
The Superman?
Yeah, that imagines what would have happened with the geopolitics of the world if Superman's spaceship had landed in Russia instead of Kansas.
Oh.
And in that world, the Soviet Union becomes the primary superpower of the world because they have Superman. And it sort of reimagines what circumstances would have created Batman and even the Green Lantern and Lex Luthor. And so that... I really liked it. That was, I thought, a really interesting story. And there are a couple other novels that aren't like strict reimaginings, but like there's a graphic novel called Joker that is a story just completely from the Joker's perspective. So it really treats Batman as like this insane maniac because it puts you just in the point of view of Joker. And there's a similar one, about Lex Luthor. So, and in that one, it sort of paints Superman as this really terrifying alien presence. So I like it when stories sort of change the perspective. And so I was digging this version of Batman. I thought it was interesting. I like the Selina Kyle character. She was great.
Jennifer Carpenter did great with the voice.
Yeah.
Bruce... what's his name?
Greenwood?
Greenwood, yes. As Batman was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought everybody actually did a good job.
And the animation was nice. I mean, I liked that fun. Part of it. Yeah. I just hated the end. It pissed me off so much.
Yeah, I mean, I liked how dark and kind of adult it was. I mean, Hugo Strange was killed by being torn apart by the crazy inmates he'd been experimenting on.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dark.
Yes, very.
The Ripper was
ripping.
super creepy when he had Hugo Strange's mask on.
Yeah.
I liked the action. I liked the fighting, the sort of boxing style fighting.
Yeah. Where Batman's not like a superhero.
No, he's Batman gets his ass kicked a lot in this movie. I liked it, but you know, and it's a mystery, which is fun. And they did spend some time with Batman being a detective, which I always appreciate.
Yeah.
So that part was fun. I liked what they did with all the Robins. I thought that was pretty subtle.
Until you said it, I didn't realize that was what that was.
Yeah, I don't remember if they ever even called the oldest one Dick, but I'm assuming that was.
Wow. Wow.
Dick Grayson. Because, yeah, they had Dick Grayson, they had Dick, Jason, and Tim. Three of the Robins.
Oh, see, I didn't even get that.
Yeah, I liked it. But as you're sort of going through who could be the bad guy, trying to figure out the mystery, they really want you to think it's Harvey Dent.
Yes. That they didn't make it Harvey Dent, because that is kind of the natural progression that you'd like, the cop out.
Yeah, but it also the exaggerated physicality of the Ripper, it like by the end of the movie, you're sort of boxed into it can only be Jim Gordon because nobody else is drawn with those proportions.
Exactly.
And it didn't make any sense. And the way it was revealed, I thought, was really cheap and clunky.
Yes.
It seemed like a very hack mystery writer kind of ending, like what they made fun of in Murder by Death.
Yes.
So that was disappointing. Yeah, and having Barbara Gordon's face all burned with acid, not pleasant.
No, and unnecessary. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... I understand they were going for some shock value and certainly pulling the rug out from under you.
It worked in that sense.
Jim Gordon, it worked, but they didn't. I don't think they put the work in to lay the track to get there. And that's what made it feel cheap.
Yeah.
Like if they had dropped hints all along, other than just drawing these two giant dudes. With the, you know, the same proportions, I thought it would have worked better. So,
yeah. So, Gotham by Gaslight. It does not make me want to watch the other one that just came out. I think it's like Batman, like the Ninja Tales or something.
No, you're kidding.
No, it looks like they just put like a, maybe even like sort of the same sort of top coat, except with the. Ninja type or even like samurai type stuff on it. It's it's like, no, I don't want to watch
it. That sounds like some weird cultural appropriation.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I used to, you know, back when I was like reading comic books as a kid, I love the What If comic books, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, those are always really fun.
Yeah. And so yeah, so as a concept that sounds great, but I don't know. Maybe just it's just not for me.
I actually like the DC Universe animated movies. I think they're, for the most part, really well done. They have good voice acting. I dig the animation style. It's very old school. And the stories that they choose to tell in the movies are generally pretty fun. So I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen a few, and I think they're all pretty good.
What's the Justice League Dark was on my list, and I took it off after Gotham by Gaslight.
That's also on my list. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, if you find that it's good, let me know, because I took it off my list. I'm like, I'm going to go a different direction now. I've got a book recommendation before we get into housekeeping if you want. Because I've got vacation stories I could tell now or later too, but I was looking for some fun, like, because I listened to or I got the Audible copy of Steve Martin's Pure Drivel, a book of essays he wrote in the 80s that are still pretty great. I mean, some seem kind of hacky now a little bit, the premises, but he does them so well that it's just fun. It's only a couple hours long, though. So I was looking for other books, and I got the Whitney Cummings book, I'm Fine and Other Lies, which I thought was interesting. It talks about her. There's a whole like 2 hour section on her codependency. And I didn't realize what being codependent was all about. I misunderstood the whole thing, but she sort of lays it out in like the story of her life, how she was doing things to please people all the time in a way that didn't help her or the people she was trying to please. And she tells it, you know, very, again, it's clever, and she tells it herself. That was great, but I kind of resisted getting Guy Branum's book. I really like Guy Branum, and his book is called My Life as a Goddess, a memoir, and the cover shows him like sort of naked, just like chest up or whatever, but he's wearing like some sort of fabric, like as a shawl or a toga sort of thing, and holding some flowers, and he's got like a flower wreath around his head, and it's called My Life as a Goddess. So I thought, I really like Guy Branum. He's really smart and really funny, and yet I'm wondering how much of it is going to be like Project Runway sort of like leaning on like homosexual humor and stuff, which is fine, but I don't want to reread like a 9-hour book about that whole stuff. Turns out, no, I should have trusted it. He the very first part of his story, he talks about being as a kid, he was sort of fell in love with like Greek and Roman myths, and he tells a story about one of them. I guess I won't give it away, but that's kind of where the title comes from. It has nothing to do with he's not like a, it's not like a gender thing. It's part of this Greek mythology story that he hung on to as a kid. Anyway, the book is funny and it's smart, and he tells what seem to be pretty true stories, and I'm only partway through it, but, he has a really great delivery. Like, he gives footnotes on stuff, because he grew up in the California. But he explains he grew up in the California you never think of. He grew up basically in like as an almond farmer.
Okay.
And his parents are like Okies, or except they're for his Jewish grandmother. So, you know, so he grew up in this area where he was just expected to be either a farmer or get a white collar job, so he eventually went to law school and became a lawyer.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I thought he was a pretty smart guy going to law school, right?
Super smart, yeah. Oh yeah, he passed the bar. He's qualified to practice law in California, even though he's not going to. But he's so smart and so funny. And so I'm a little bit ashamed for literally judging a book by its cover. he actually explains that he was supposed to be wearing a they had, on the photo shoot for the cover, they wanted to put him in like a farmer's outfit, and he's like, I didn't grow up on that kind of a farm. And they're like, well, do you have other clothes? He goes, I have some ideas. So that's anyway, but yeah, it is hilarious. It's well delivered. It's probably the best memoir I've read in a long time. So I highly recommend Guy Branum's My Life as a Goddess. So super high recommendation. And eventually he's going to talk about getting fired or having creative differences with Chelsea Handler, which will be an interesting story, I'm sure. Because he owes a lot of his success to her, and yet they had a falling out.
Doesn't that describe everybody who worked on her show?
I think so, yeah. Including Whitney Cummings. Yeah. So I went through the old Chelsea Handler writer's guests memoirs on my vacation, while also trying to watch as many episodes, not as many as I wanted to. I'm going to have to finish that up too, of Terriers, which is fantastic.
Oh.
I really like that. I'm glad. Thank you very much.
How far did you make it?
I am on the 4th. So I've got, 8 to go or something? 9 to go?
Did it help at all watching it while you were in San Diego?
It made me think about it. Yeah. It was interesting to see all the geography and...
Yeah, you were probably like in the nicer part of San Diego, and that takes place mostly in the slummy part, right?
No. Turns out our hotel was in Hotel Circle or whatever, so mm-hmm. that was one part. But we drove through these areas quite a bit to get from place to place. Like, we didn't venture. We only went except for Legoland. We basically stayed within like a half an hour drive from the hotel, just because that's all we wanted to do. Sure. But we ended up driving, the first couple days we drove the freeways, which is an experience unto itself, coming from Alaska where there's one freeway.
It's not a freeway up here.
Not really. No. I like to see all the, seeing all those multi-layered, like eight layers of different ramps on top of each other was stunning and amazing. But I don't know how people navigated before they had, GPS on their phone, because Apple Maps is fucking brilliant. I mean, it didn't steer us wrong, except for it kind of wants you to do U-turns. But when we were on a 5 or 6 lane road, it would say, stay in the 2 middle lanes or stay in, go to the second lane to the right. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. That's important. Because trying to juggle that on a paper map would have been a much bigger chore.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember, road tripping in my college days with the giant atlas.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And if you're by yourself, oh my God.
Yeah. You get very familiar with exactly how to read road signs.
Yeah. Yep. And I really appreciate, living in Alaska, we don't have this, but I really appreciate exit numbers.
Yes.
Because, everything's got a different name, but if I know that we just passed exit 40 and we need to exit on exit 46, I know where it's going. I can see it coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very nice. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can never stay in one lane. You always have to be merging one way or the other.
Yeah.
No matter where you're going is I found that very, hilarious. But after the first couple days, I discovered the setting on the phone that says, hey, avoid highways. And I realized that for most of what our driving was doing, it was adding 3 minutes to the trip. So why not avoid the highway if you can? So we went through some probably sketchy areas at night. It was a record heat wave. So it was interesting seeing like homeless in Anchorage is similar but different than homeless in San Diego. It seems like it would be a better place to be homeless in San Diego, but not so much when it's 100 degrees outside. You have to find shelter one way or another, so it was very interesting. But we didn't have too much problems with that. Otherwise, the trip worked out fine. I have some suggestions for you. It's not like you had asked me, because you guys haven't done SeaWorld?
We have not.
And you haven't done Legoland?
Correct.
And you have done the zoo?
We have done the zoo, but we have not done... What, there's a safari park somewhere?
Yes, yep, so there's 35 miles north of the zoo is the safari park. We did not go to the safari park. We would have on our last day, except that because it had been 100 degrees and mm-hmm. the zoo had, we took the tram and we took the buses and everything around, so we kind of kept out of the walking up hills in the sun.
Yeah.
The safari park was not going to give us that opportunity, apparently.
Oh.
It's much more spread out, and it's not like you can just hop on a bus from place to place. I think they have one tour or whatever, but otherwise it's a lot of walking. And so we're like, let's go to the Children's Museum instead, which, by the way, you can skip. Journey had a fun time there, but as far as SeaWorld, also mm-hmm. 100 degrees, and Legoland, slightly less, but in the 90s. There are places where you are going to end up spending a shit ton of money. And as a parent, that kind of irritates you.
Right.
At least it irritated me. The fact that...
Because they're designed
to 100%. Get your money. Right? Yeah. And they get your money in so many different ways. I just kind of gave up. I didn't worry about that part of it because we figure, okay. It's funny. My recommendation is go to SeaWorld. If you've never been to SeaWorld, go to SeaWorld. Because seeing the dolphin show was great. We saw a dolphin show, we saw a sea lion show, and we saw a like a pet show, like dogs and cats and a bunch of other kinds of pets that did tricks. Those were great. You see them once, you can check it off your list for the rest of your life. Realize you're going to be paying a shit ton of money for food and that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, and they didn't have enough ice. And you end up buying like a $12 cup that you could refill as many times as you want. But when there's not enough ice, it's just a slap in the face on a hot day.
Here's some hot water for exactly, you to sit down.
Yeah, yeah. No, they had one of those Coke machines, the special, I can't remember what they're called, but the special Coke machines, you can make any kind of Coke you can dream of. But all we wanted was ice, water, and they didn't have enough ice ever. The zoo was great with ice. The zoo would also fill up your water bottle no matter where you bought the water bottle from, partly because it was a heat wave, and even the locals were, like, sweating and complaining. But both Legoland and SeaWorld, it was like they got you coming and going for money. However, you know, Legoland had some rides that I think your kids are more adventurous than Journey is, so they would maybe appreciate them more than she did. But she loved doing the driving school thing. It was short and silly. And if you wanted a license with your picture on it, it was $20. But what are you going to do? Say no? She also won, in a game of chance, she won a Pikachu that was probably 2 feet tall and like a foot and a half wide or something. And also not squishy, like full of like hard styrofoam or something. Oh. We almost had to buy a duffel bag to take it back to Anchorage with us. But luckily we could manage to put it in one of our bags, not have to, whatever. So go see SeaWorld. It's fine. You're not going to get to see dolphins do tricks and sea lions. And there was an orca show we didn't see. Cause again, we were there for like 5 hours and we were hot. And we had, the first night we got there, we did the Build-A-Bear thing, which was great. We went to Cheesecake Factory, which was fine, but we had to wait for a table and then we had to wait for the food to come out. So we were all pretty tired. But the next day we decided, we'll just go to the beach maybe, we were going to go to SeaWorld, and we decided, because we got a little bit of a late start, that we prepared to go to SeaWorld. We went to go to like Walgreens or something to pick up something we'd forgotten, because God knows we forgot everything along the trip. And we decided, let's just go to the beach instead. We'll go to the beach and then we'll go to the pool. Right.
Nice.
So we went out to the beach since it was freaking 100 degrees. And we didn't bring our flip flops or anything. So it was so we ended up buying flip flops, which kind of galled me. And Kelly's
like, wait, you didn't bring him to the beach or you didn't bring him to San Diego?
No, we brought him to San Diego. We did not bring him to the beach because we intended to go to SeaWorld. So we had to stop at the shop there and buy flip flops that didn't fit right, were expensive. And then, you know, the beach was kind of crowded. And so we ended up buying hats. I had a hat, but they didn't bring the hats either that we probably needed. So we ended up being on the beach for like half an hour maybe, and then going back to the hotel and swimming in the pool. And the pool was awesome.
Yeah.
We got super sunburned. Not like fairy sunburn. Yeah. I mean, not like fairy sunburned. We tried to prevent it, but it was hard. But the next day we did go to SeaWorld, and Kelly got sunburned more through her shirt.
Oh.
So it was bad. I mean, so we determined that swimming in a pool during the daytime was probably not the best. We angled it. It was only open until 8, but we decided we wouldn't go there until about 6 at night, just so the angle of the sun was better, because we don't want to get any more burned. And now we are peeling like crazy, all of us, as we should. Mm-hmm. But Journey loved the pool. You know, she had spent all summer avoiding the pool at the Y. But as soon as she got in the pool in San Diego, it was great. I mean, she still needs some swimming lessons to actually learn how to swim right. But she wanted to go to the pool every time. She would have spent every day, all day long in the pool, which was cool. And after I got over my being bashful, when I realized that, you know, nobody cares. And there were people who looked worse than I did every place we ever went. So it's fine. I live in America. We're fat, ugly people are rampant. So it was great. And, you know, like I said, we just did a bunch of tourist stuff, and it was fun to see palm trees. And I when I checked in the hotel, the first thing I did was do a quick sweep for ranchos, but we didn't see any bugs at all. So,
nice.
Because had I seen a tarantula, I don't know what I would have done, but yeah, I was in dad mode, so I was looking around. But no, we had a great time. We ended up, I mean, from a security standpoint, the motor lodge we stayed in, anybody could have gotten in the room at any time to do whatever they wanted to my family, had they desired to. Had they merely wanted to enter our room, they could have. Partly because it was, the doors weren't super secure. I mean, it had a lock on them, but, you know, come on, one kick and that you're in that room. Mm-hmm. But luckily, nobody wanted to kill us. You know,
that's good.
It was, I think I sent the picture that said, every day we got at least two or three flyers shoved through the door, because there's also a fairly big gap in the door. You don't see in Alaska when you see like light through the door. Between the door and the door frame. And every day we got like two or three flyers for like pizza places and restaurants. And in the packet they gave us to check in, it says, do not order from these people who give flyers. They are trespassing and most of them are not actually businesses anyway.
Oh.
So I guess we will look. Hey, this pizza place looks good. Let's give me, they don't list an address anywhere on it, but they do take your credit card. No problem. It was fine. It was great. We were on the first floor. Again, not great security-wise, but it means I didn't have to drag a bunch of bags upstairs, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're on the first floor, they gave us a handicapped accessible room, which means the bathroom was big, and it was a walk-in shower.
Oh,
so that
nice.
Was great. Yeah, loved it. It also meant it took me a while to figure out why there was a peephole in the door at the regular spot, and then a peephole in the door about crotch level.
All
but
right.
I realized that's because if you're sitting in a wheelchair, that's the level you'd be looking at. But yeah, it was fun. And luckily we have a couple days to recover before we go back to work, so that's nice.
How are the flights?
Well, we paid extra for premium seats. It gives you a little bit of extra leg room, or in my case, belly room. So you can actually put your tray table down comfortably and actually eat on the table if you wanted. And we paid for them on, I think, three of our four legs. And we had great seats, like, through all four of the things until I checked in on the way home. I mean, the flight down was great. The flight back, when I checked in, like, a minute after you're allowed to check in, because you only check in, like, 24 hours before your flight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 23 hours and 59 minutes I was checking in, and we were
of course
we were Kelly and I were in one row and Journey was in the middle in another row, like in like row 25 or something. I'm like, I paid extra for this. So I was able to change our seats on the flight from Seattle to Anchorage, so we're at least having a row together, but I couldn't get that. So I called Alaska and I said, I'm trying to check in it. Now it shows me I'm scattered all over the place. I paid for upgraded seats in the same row. He's like, oh, well, I show you're in like 3D, 3E, and 3F or something. I'm like, yeah, that's why I showed two until I checked in this morning. And now I'm showing I'm in 15C and 25E and 25F. He's like, oh, that's no good. Let me see what I can do. And of course, there's only middle seats left because they pack these things pretty full. So his best thing after he went and talked to a bunch of people was, well, we'll definitely refund your money for the, you are. I can't move people around, but apparently the gate agents at the airports have a lot more flexibility. So go there early.
Wait, what? How did they scatter you in the first place?
Well, that's the thing. Apparently they changed, I got an email we booked it in March. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've selected my seats and everything. We get an email in early July saying, we had to change your aircraft. So your flight's going to the flight number you're on is actually going to be the same, but you're going to leave at 8 instead of 6, which I thought was great. And they said, you know, I saw the new seats we were given and they were all together. And in the leg we ended up being scattered on, it showed us like in first class. I'm like, well, I'm not going to complain about that. great. But then when I checked in, so he's like, yeah, when they changed the fight, I guess they released all the seats. I paid extra. Like, and I, you know, I wasn't that guy. I was nice and play on the phone. I'm just saying, I don't understand, you know, I just want to sit together with my family. I'd prefer to have the premium seats that I paid for, but I just want to sit together. It would be nice. But I went there. We went to the airport early-ish, and they worked some magic, got us all in the same row at least. So that was fine. And
that's good. For both legs?
Yeah, well, the second leg, I was able to do that myself. We weren't in the premium seats, but at least we're together. And so it was the same. We were together in the cramped seats, and they were pretty cramped, but, you know, whatever. It was fine. I mean, the flight itself was fine. It's nice that now you can listen to your, you know, as long as you're in airplane mode, you can use your phone or your tablet the entire time.
Yeah.
So
that is nice.
Yeah. So I was able to listen to some books and watch a couple episodes of TV. And, when they say you can text for free, they're lying, but you know, you could watch movies for free. If you download this app for Alaska Airlines, and that's fine. You could pay a lot of money and get internet if you wanted. It was fine.
Do they hit you up for charges after the fact for texting?
No.
Oh.
No. I mean, basically it's, you know, if you want to buy the whole internet package, you can, but they give you plenty for free if you download the app, but you can't download the app while you're on the plane. If you download the app, if you're going to Alaska Airlines, download the app first. Before you even get to the airport, because otherwise that's sort of a catch-22 there. But
yeah,
it was fine. I mean, on the way back, we barely made our connection because we were just slightly late. But
that's always super stressful.
Yeah, and
trying to deplane when you're worried about time.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and well, and the thing was, so we were waiting. You know, we were in the back. We were like row 25 too. So I was like, great.
You're never getting out.
No, and it showed we were in a different terminal. They told us we were in you're arriving in gate E13. Well, it turns out we were arriving in gate N9, like it said on the app. And luckily the other flight was on N1, which was like right across the hall. But I thought we were gonna have to get in one of those tram things, which we would not have made our flight. But then it was a little bit galling that we get in there. We just barely get in there. Didn't have time to grab food or anything. Had time to go to the bathroom. That was it. And then we went to our flight. We get seated. Great. At least nobody was sitting in our seats. Cram ourselves in there. And then we sat on the tarmac for a half an hour. So they pushed away from the jetway. So the flight officially left on time. But then we had to wait because there were some issues. You know, what are you going to do? And we were only maybe 5 minutes late coming into Anchorage, maybe 10 minutes. But the people that were going on to Dutch Harbor, that was one of the things where they said, here's the deal. There's some people making a flight to Dutch Harbor. Everybody needs to stay seated until they get off the plane because they have to run. But everybody cooperated. It was fine.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Yeah.
Had Journey survived the flights?
She does great. Okay. I mean, other than the fact that she'll lean up against one of us and go to sleep, which, you know, if we're already hot, does not make us any cooler. But really, it was fine. She actually did really well. I mean, there were a couple times where she was kind of tired and whiny, and picking your battles, it was fine. We went to Boston Market on our last day, which turns out was not a good experience. I would recommend against Boston Market as the restaurant. But it was something we'd never been to before. But Journey wasn't having it. She's like, no, I want McDonald's. I'm like, well, fine, but we're going to eat at Boston Market. And she's like, okay, well, you got to go to McDonald's afterward. I was like, fine. You know, but they don't serve French fries at Boston Market. She wasn't interested in anything else. Okay, well, we're going to sit here. And then the lady who was working with us is like, do you want an extra plate for her? I'm like, no. So she's like calling, children's services or something on us. And it turns out it was horrible food that gave us all indigestion and worse. But that was about the extent of our troubles. We didn't really, I had one guy who kind of hit me up in the parking lot the night before we left as I was trying to clean out the rental car a little bit. I guess it was morning time. And I just sort of blew him off after a little bit. It was polite, but sort of blew him off. He wanted to use my phone. I'm like, nope, Sorry, not going to do it. Oh, here's a complaint. Here's a first world problem. So I use my iPod all the time in Anchorage, all the time, and decided, well, okay, I've got a newer phone now, an iPhone that has lots of memory on it, which is part of the reason I had them separated to begin with, because my old iPhone didn't have much memory at all. So I just put, you know, some movies and TV and some books on audio, Audible, whatever, all on my phone. But it's the phone that doesn't have fucking headphone jack on it. I, you know, if I've never used it for an iPod before, so it comes with a little adapter. But here's what I didn't realize, although it makes sense. You can't charge and listen at the same time.
Very true.
That is a problem. So I had to go buy an adapter for that. I was actually going to buy a pair of Bluetooth headphones, even though I have a pair of Bluetooth headphones I left at home, because I love my wired headphones. But I was going to actually considering like spending too much money for a pair of cheap Bluetooth headphones just for the trip. When really I just bought the adapter. It was fine. It was at Target. Great.
It was like a splitter so that you can plug two things into your phone.
It's worse. It's actually are you familiar with the little adapter thing
for the headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the thinnest wire possible. Like it's going to break any second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this has a little more robust one, but I don't have it with me, but it's about maybe an inch and a half of cord. And then it looks like one of those 30-pin connectors. And one side you put in the headphones, the other side you can put in a lightning plug. But it looks absurd. Okay. It looks ridiculous. And it's not very practical. Mm-hmm. So they really want you to use Bluetooth, I suppose. But, yeah, other than that, it was fine. Oh, and the hotel safe didn't work. So we ended up lugging the iPads around. Journey's and Kelly's iPad were basically taken with them everywhere we went. I just said, screw it, and I left the Fire tablet like in my bags, and somebody wanted to get in the room. Like I said, they could have just opened the door and taken whatever they wanted. It was fun. It was a good experience. It was a good time to actually take a vacation because we haven't ever done one together. So it was nice to see that it was possible.
Yeah. It looked like you guys were having a blast.
Yeah, we were. I had the pictures of Night Beach. Do you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. That was of course not at the beach and not at night. That was in the Children's Museum. but Journey will remember being on the beach at night. We didn't actually really have any beach time except that one little burn your feet on the sand and then splash in the surf a little bit. But yeah, pool was great. So next we'll probably try Hawaii. Because I hear they have pools there, too. So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow. And maybe ramble, that's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay, welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. 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 Not in a